I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, you know them from their cute TV and radio advertisements, but the Federal Trade Commission is none too pleased with FreeCreditReport.com. The FTC doesn't think free is quite the right word for what they're offering. We'll tell you more in a few minutes. But first, the company lost $1.15 billion from July to September and dropped market share, too. But General Motors management sounded optimistic yesterday, announcing plans to start paying back a $6.7 billion loan to the U.S. government. That loan could be paid off by next summer, some 5 years earlier than expected. But is this a smart move for a company that is still losing money and begging for a tax break from a struggling state government? We wanted to know more, so we called Jerome Vaughn. He is news director at member station WDET in Detroit. Also joining us is John Stoll. He covers the auto industry for The Wall Street Journal. He's also with us from Detroit. Welcome to you both. Thank you for joining us.
Good to be with you.
Thanks for having us.
John, I'm going to start with you. On the one hand, GM declared what seems like a big loss. $1 billion still seems like real money to me.
Right.
So how is it possible that they are in position to start repaying the debt earlier than expected, and why do they want to?
Well, basically, when GM went into bankruptcy court, the Treasury Department gave them equivalent of about $30 billion to get through bankruptcy and to survive afterward. Even with the losses that they encountered in the third quarter, it appears that they have more money on the books. So they were overcapitalized, which is a good situation to have. If somebody gives you too much money, it usually gives you a lot of options with your business. In this case, I think that GM is arguing they're doing the prudent thing, and they're going to begin taking that surplus of cash that they have and paying it back to the U.S. government.
And why do they want to? Why do they think that's prudent? I mean, we've seen where a number of the banks who also got federal bail
right.
money really just want to get out from the scrutiny of their compensation structure.
Right.
Is that
the case here?
This
will not give GM out of any scrutiny because the federal government in this case owns 60% of the company. And until that 60% stake is sold, which it could be several years, it could be as long as almost a decade until that's gone, that scrutiny will technically still be there. That could change. But we do know that really I think there's two factors here that GM's looking at when it comes to paying down the loan. One is being able to say that you're repaying the taxpayer is a tangible sign of progress when there are very few other milestones that you can point to. When you're losing $1 billion on your net basis, when you're losing market share, when Europe continues to be a problem for them, at least they can say that we're paying back our debt. The second thing is there are very high interest rates that come with this debt. I calculate that they could easily pay this thing back with the surplus by next year, in fact. And if they can get under the weight of a 7% interest agreement with the government, it will definitely help them lower those costs. And I guess there's a third factor as well. They'd like to be as private as they can be, and right now they are as public as possible. And so if they can get this debt paid back, this $6.7 billion note that they own the government – they could hopefully go out and find some banks that will lend them replacement revolving loans that then they can at least say, we're becoming private as fast as possible.
There's a question I have that I want to ask both of you to respond to. That we called Warren Brown, who is covers the auto industry for the Washington Post. He writes about cars. And he also says that it's a matter of the perception-reality gap, that GM has been turning out globally competitive products, but the public perception is not that. So that getting out from government scrutiny is one way to say that we are really back, we are strong. So is this in part about perception, John? And then Jerome, I want to hear from you.
I think there's some of that there. I don't give them that much credit at this point because I think they want the merit of their automobiles to tell the story. I think they do need to wash the stain out of the bailout off their hands. But there's also a very real feeling inside GM that they want their automobiles to stand on their own.
Jerome, what about you? How is Detroit reacting to this?
Well, I think overall we're waiting to see what's going to happen. I mean, no one has been dancing out in the street because GM lost only $1.2 billion, as opposed to $6 or $7 or $8 billion. I mean, I think people are relieved it isn't a much larger number. The plants had been closed for a while during restructuring, and no one knew exactly how it was going to work when they came back up. Cash for clunk. workers didn't have the impact for GM that it did for, say, Ford or Toyota. So I think people were holding their breath a little bit, but I think they're relieved that it was only $1 billion. It is still a large chunk of money, but that the company had the ability to spin it as progress, I think had some relief out in the streets. The other thing I think is that there were no major layoffs announced that were going to go with this quarterly announcement yesterday. And so I think that as well had an impact, an additional sense of relief on the part of average Detroiters.
But the Detroit Free Press is reporting this morning that GM may move 1,500 jobs out of Detroit, out of the Renaissance Center, and is seeking state tax breaks to keep workers there. How is that? And I understand that this is new in information, but I'm just wondering, how are people responding to that? On the one hand, the company wants to pay the federal government back, but it's still asking for concessions from state government, which is under quite a lot of pressure there owing to high unemployment. How do you think that's going to play?
Well, I think it depends on where you live in Southeast Michigan. I think if you live in the city of Detroit proper, I think people are going to be a little miffed about that. People want to see GM jobs stay in the city. People want to see that tax base that the income tax provides stay in the city. And they want to see as many workers as possible remain in the Renaissance Center, GM's headquarters. If you live in the suburb of Warren, which is just outside of Detroit, which is where the Warren Tech Center is, you want to see those jobs move to Warren because, you know, if those jobs are in Warren, that's people eating at Warren restaurants and buying gas in Warren instead of in Detroit. So we had hoped there was going to be some more regional cooperation along this line and not have this sort of territorial war. We'll see how it works out. The governor is supposed to make some remarks on that today.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the latest news in the auto industry, especially General Motors plans to begin repaying government loans, part of a government loan that it was given last year. We're speaking with Jerome Vaughn of member station WDET and John Stoll of the Wall Street Journal. John, Ford actually reported sizable profits last quarter. Ford has been kind of the, what would you say, the sort of the bright spot in the industry. Mm-hmm. What's the difference, if you would kind of help us? Obviously, there's two different companies, but what's the difference?
Ford got started a lot earlier on the real cut-to-the-bone restructuring that they needed to do. They hired Alan Mulally, an outsider who had been in the airline industry, a key figure at Boeing for about 3 decades. They hired him in 2006, and he went right about making changes that GM really is getting to now, particularly, you know, rebalancing the balance sheet, and he went out and got a lot of debt. But they began cutting, and I think it's an indication that Ford is much further along in its restructuring than GM is. GM's loss is largely attributed to the fact that they aren't as small as they promised to be yet. They're going to get there, hopefully, but they're still servicing brands like Pontiac and Saturn, which they committed to get rid of. That's very costly to run liquidation sales, so you have to incentivize the vehicles, and you're not making money on those. Ford isn't there. Now, they have a slimmer lineup right now. They have a power-packed product portfolio. And they also have a situation where people are paying more of a premium for their vehicles right now.
So, Jerome, I understand that, going back to sort of local news in Detroit, I understand that even one of the mayor's businesses is up for sale. Now, he gave up, Mayor Dave Bing, newly reelected, or reelected again. It's a complicated situation owing to the resignation of the prior mayor, Kwame Kilpatrick, because of legal problems. And so there have been a number of elections in a short period of time, but Dave Bing reelected to a full term, and he, as I understand it, gave up operational control of one of his businesses when he took the mayor's seat. But is that, you know, what does it say when one of the mayor's businesses, which had been a successful business, is now up for sale or going into bankruptcy?
Well, I think it shows that, you know, the entire industry that feeds into automotive, you know, production is on the rocks in one way or another. I mean, you know, among the products that the Bing Company made, you know, steel for automobiles and, you know, different parts to go to auto parts makers. You know, they're still struggling, and they're going to continue to struggle for a while. I mean, with General Motors cutting production earlier in the year, and many of their plants were down for for a while. That had ripple effects. The auto parts makers weren't selling parts because, you know, there was no one to sell them to. And then that rippled down the line. And the Bing company dealt with those same issues. I think the other thing it says, though, is that Mayor Bing is really looking forward. He's got a lot of work to do to help the city over the next 4 years. He's got to focus on that. And I think that's part of the message as well, is that he's really looking to focus on that job as opposed to his financial holdings.
And finally, John, I'm not sure if you know the answer to this question, but how is the United Auto Workers responding to the news about GM paying back the loan, or beginning to pay back the loan early? Are they responding favorably to this?
They've been quite silent on the issue thus far, but they do have a member of the board that represents them, Stephen Gursky. And you definitely – Steve had to be behind this. He had to vote in favor of it if it was going to happen. And you have to remember, the United Auto Workers are a stakeholder and a stockholder in GM. They own a significant percentage of the company. And at the end of the day, this will make GM a healthier – credit risk, and hopefully, for the company's sake, make them a better performer on the New York Stock Exchange when they go public. And that pays huge dividends for the United Auto Workers. So in the end, I believe that the fiscal argument is in favor of the United Auto Workers right now. And yeah, they'd like to see that in their members' pockets, but they'd also like to see the stock do well when this company goes public.
And Jerome, finally to you, and I understand that it's kind of a vague question, but can you just tell me what's the mood in the city right now? The city's been through a lot. It's been through a lot in terms of governance. It's been through a lot in terms of the industry. What's the mood right now? Optimistic, pessimistic, looking forward?
I think the mood is one of maintenance, is survival. I mean, we've gone through this economic upheaval. We still have a ways to go before we get out of it. But, Detroit has been through crises like this before, economically speaking. And so the thing is to bear down and, keep working as hard as you can. And eventually it's going to turn around. And
okay.
People have seen that before.
All right. Well, we'll keep working, too. Thank you. Jerome Vaughn is the news director at NPR member station WDET. John Stoll covers the auto industry for The Wall Street Journal. They were both kind enough to join us from the studios of WDET in Detroit. Gentlemen, thank you.